Today we're up to page Kuf Zayin. Halacha Kuf Beis. Page Kuf Zayin, Halacha Kuf Beis. We're going to learn something over here that is shocking to most people. I think this is a different generation gap. People from a previous generation fully relate to this, and someone today under a certain age have no clue what this says here. You will read this, you show it to someone, let's say under 18 years old, and you read paragraph Kuf Beis, they'll read it five times, and they'll say, I don't know, I don't understand one word it says here. If you ask a person over a certain age, it's pasha what this means. Now what are we referring to? I'll just tell it to you outside. I'll just give you an example. It used to be, Rabbi Mayevsky told this to me once, is that when a rabbi wanted to know if a member of their shul were Shomer Shabbos, what do? They come into their home and they just look to see if their dining room table has a tablecloth. Right?
Yes.
During the week. I'm not talking Shabbos.
Right.
During the week, they come into the house, they just want to see from far if the dining room table has a tablecloth. That means this is a Jewish home.
Oh,
a religious Jewish home.
Good.
Now you tell that to a guy today under 18 years old, they look at you like, why? Why? What are you talking about? We don't relate to what? You always have tablecloth on the table? Look over here in Digital Yisrael, this is one of the only shuls that I know in the whole Flatbush that has tablecloths the whole week. Here, right here in front of you. And for Shabbos, they put on a beautiful tablecloth. Almost every shul and yeshiva I know that have tables during the week, there's no tablecloth. Zero. Shabbos, most of them, they put on a tablecloth. What?
Plastic?
Whatever, they put on the tablecloth for Shabbos.
Rabbi Khan has
it right, he has the whole week also. Rabbi Khan Shabbos, they put on special?
I don't
think so, I don't know. The Avenue J, they don't have tables. What tables? On the back table. You're right, I take it back, there's always tablecloth there, right. But they don't put on a Shabbos special.
How do you
they don't put on special Shabbos.
The school doesn't have tables.
Right? All together, right.
How do you sit? You said they
don't
have tables.
Well,
how do you sit during the week when you
dab it? Pew, you sit on chairs.
Why
chairs. What?
You put film
where? On the next chair. On the next
chair.
You put your children on the other chair.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
Regarding tables, I think in the early 30s, in the bylaws of National Council of Young Israel, they prohibited tables because they said it's conducive to talking.
Really? I thought I was under the understanding the tables only when you sit on two sides of the table.
Right. Yeah, right.
If I sit here and you sit there, everyone must face the same 30s. Direction. What?
But
it doesn't mean tail, it means facing each other, like in a shtibel, facing each other. Yeah, okay. Okay, so the point over here is, there is such a concept in Jewish thought, which unfortunately today is lost on most of us, including myself, a table, every single table, whether it's a table in the Beis HaKnesses or a table in your home, has sanctity.
You don't put a hat on the table.
Okay. Okay, because that's also part of it. It couldn't be part of it. The worst thing you can do on a shidduch, go on a date, they come when the father sits you down, take off your hat, you put your hat on the table. Put your hat on the table, shidduch is over. Okay, don't put your hat... What?
The FJJ
approach.
Don't put your hat on the table. It used to be, there is such a principle in halacha, in hashkafa. It's not halacha anywhere, no halacha. A table has sanctity. Has sanctity. Why? Every single table is a dugma. Ze ha-shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. It's the mizbeach. Every single shulchan is serving in the place of the mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a dugma. It's a dugma of the mizbeach. And just like on the mizbeach, you only bring sacred things. And the kavana, if you bring a karban, if you have a kavana, machsheves pigel, chutz lezman, chutz lemakomer, for the wrong thing, it disqualifies. A table has sanctity. And because of that sanctity, it used to be, today no such thing anymore, but it used to be, you would never have a bare table. No such thing. There's no such thing as having a table that's exposed. It doesn't exist. Today, it's a different world, obviously. We don't take this seriously. Today on Shabbos, usually very makbid on Shabbos, in a Jewish home, you have a table cloth. That at least survived. I think most people on Shabbos, even if they have these gorgeous, exquisite, who knows, they have all these nice things today, but still, Shabbos, I think the average person that I know of, you still cover your table with a tablecloth. During the weekday, you want to show, look at my table, you know, this is, I didn't pay $5 for this, I didn't buy this on eBay.
Expensive.
Now, L'may Nafkamina, so he says something that to us may be a bit bizarre, if you have, if there is a louse, lice, it's a plural. Lice is plural, louse is singular, yeah. On the table. Don't
have one.
You never have one? Okay, if you have lice, don't kill the lice on your dining room table. Why not? It's disgusting. The table has sanctity. Don't be mivaze the sanctity of your table by doing something disgusting on it. Okay, you tell this to an 18-year-old kid. What are you, what? What, a table has sanctity? You can't go kill a fly? Don't know, they talk in modern terms. Today we don't kill lice on the table. We kill flies. If there's a fly on the table, don't take a fly swatter and kill it on the table. You know why? Because the table has sanctity. You don't, would you do it on a Sefer Torah? If you have a Sefer Torah, there's a fly on the Sefer Torah, would you take a fly swatter in the middle of Kriya Satira? Right, in the middle of laning, there's a fly. You wouldn't dare. Craig, you wouldn't dare do that on a Sefer Torah to take a fly swatter. The same way you wouldn't dare take a fly swatter on a Sefer Torah, you don't dare take a fly swatter on your table because the table has sanctity.
How about a bima?
It's even worse.
A bima.
We're very megal. You're davening. Listen, if you're davening, you're davening. Okay, obviously it's not proper. It's fine, but one thing is certain: it's not the right thing to put the New York Times on the bima. Okay, that's not the right thing to do.
There is no clothing on the table the big days, and only on Shabbat they want to show the great respect for Shabbat.
Correct. But forget about Shabbos. A table in Jewish thought has sanctity. Every table. It's a ze hashulchan asher lifnei Hashem. And it demands respect. Don't kill a fly on your table. Don't do something disrespectful on the table. It's an incredible thing. I think today, most of us are totally desensitized to such a principle. Years ago, everybody says, it was a given. You wouldn't have it in your home during the week. We're not talking Shabbos. It's a disgrace to have your table without a tablecloth. It's yados. Ze ha-shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. Today, like I said, we don't have the sensitivity, unfortunately, anymore in regard to this. I mean, yes and no. I mean, even the dining room table today, I don't think people cover the dining room table during the week.
When I
don't think people...
I never don't have a table.
What?
I always
you always cover.
I can't.
Never, but I think you go to a young couple, they cover the table during the week. You only cover it on Shabbos. I don't know. I guess it goes on everyone's home. But this is a unique... This is a sensitivity that... To a very large degree, we do not have today. And look, and if you don't appreciate this, then this halacha doesn't make one bit of sense. You read this: the osur laharoig kina al shulchan she'ochlin olav. The table that he's referring to is not your work table. Obviously, he's saying over here a table that you eat on, your dining room table, your kitchen table. You have a desk where you do work. Maybe that's different. Do not kill a kina, lice or a louse al shulchan she'ochlin olav ve'ha'horig olav kilu horig al hamizbeach. If you kill lice on your dining room table, it's as if you've done the same thing on the mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash, and that's not the right. That's not derech eretz. It's not derech eretz to do an act of murder, an act of death on. It's not respectful. Ki ha'shulchan hu hamizbeach shenemar va'yidaber elai Zeha Shulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. The Torah calls the Mizbeach a Shulchan to teach you a lesson. Every Shulchan that you have in your home serves in that capacity. Umitam Zeh, because of this reason, Mechasim Asakinim, another reason, this is something which is not, we're used to. Everyone knows the halacha that when you bench, you're not allowed to have on the table a knife. Why not? So make believe you didn't see this. What's the reason? It's because you shouldn't stab yourself. Well, you'll come to Uvinei Yerushalayim Yerakodesh B'mehera of Yameinu, and you will recall that today there is no Beis HaMikdash. Shualim Holchuba. There are foxes that are roaming around the surface of the Temple Mount, worse than foxes today, are walking around. There are terrorists walking around in the place of the Kodesh HaKodashim, walking around there. So a person should be overcome with grief and tsar. He may say to himself, you know, life is not worth living. And he may stab himself to death. He may commit suicide. So therefore, the halacha is, don't you dare have on your dining room table a knife when you recite Birchas HaMazon, because it may lead to suicide. You'll become depressed. Gesundheit. This, what I just told you, is well known. That's what it says in the street. That's what the Velt says.
That was in that corner because somebody did it.
Someone did it once. Yeah. But that's not what it says. It's in the Hasidim. He didn't know. He had a whole different reason. The reason why you don't have a knife when you bench is because the Shulchan is Zeh HaShulchan Lefnei Hashem. When you build the Mizbecha, you're allowed to use metal barzel to cut stone. Ferish Apostik, Lo Sonif Aleha Ki Charbecha He Nafta Aleha Vatechal Aleha. You're not allowed to build the Mizbech with the use of iron. And because the iron is meant to take away life. The Mizbech is created to extend life, to give life, to bring atonement, which gives life in this world. Barzel is a weapon which takes away life. The two don't mix. Because they do not mix, do not cut the stones of the Mizbeach with Barzel. Since our Shulchan, our dining room table, serves in that capacity, do not have on your dining room table a knife when you're benching. When you're eating, you don't have a choice. That's not something you have a choice. But when you're benching, you don't need the knife, and you're reciting blessings, it does not belong there. This is a Chiddush. It's not what we're used to. This is not what we're accustomed to hearing. We're accustomed to hearing you don't have a knife because of Yerushalayim, and the nafka mina will be, maybe for the first two brachas, you can have the knife. Only when you come to Vnei Yerushalayim, Rachin, well, that's when you have to remove the knife, according to what we commonly understand. But according to the Sefer Chasidim, you're not allowed to have the knife on the table from the very beginning. You're not allowed to have the knife.
They did it
on the side. They did it right near the Mizbeach, but not on the Mizbeach. The Shechita was on the ground level. Was done on ground level, not on the Mizbech. In fact, if you do the Shechita on the Mizbech, there's a whole Shalaf even Yoitze. You have to be Chatzitza, you have to be standing on the ground when you do the Maisa Shechita. It was done on the ground, and then they went up. Then they went up the rim. They burnt the parts. They did the Zrika, the blood, and then they went on top of the Mizbech to burn the Imurim. So he says over here, Ki HaShulchan HaHu HaMizbech, Shnei Ba'idah Eilai Zeh HaShulchan Shalafnei Hashem, Umitam Zeh, and for this reason, Mechasim HaSakinim, B'Shas Birchas HaMozim, Mishum Shnei Ma'ar Ki Charbecha, your sword. Hey Nafta Aleha, you have waved upon the Mizbeach, and by doing so, Vatechaleleha, you have profaned the Mizbeach. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons why Chanukah, it's Zois Chanukah, it's a very beautiful idea of how it relates to Chanukah. Chanukah is all about war. We don't mention in the Al-Hanisim, the Nerois. It's war, blood. The Giborim biyad chaloshim, Rabim biyad ma'atim, Mutzmim biyad hermoshim biyad tzadikim, V'zidim biyad eskis orasecha. It's all about blood and war. And then what do? We conquer the Beis HaMikdash and we demolish the Mizbeach and rebuild a new Mizbeach. Why? Why was that necessary? So you'll tell me the common answer, the simple answer, because the Yevonim offered on the Mizbeach sacrifices to the pagan gods. First of all, who says that's true? Is that really true? That's
but you don't know what happened. Okay,
and even if it's this show, it's Mechubal Lekarka. So that's Mechubal Lekarka is not subject to Tumah. So, okay, it's not nice. It's just not nice. It's a hashkafic. It's symbolic. Okay, the common answer given in all of the Svarim is because the Yevonim defiled the sanctity of the Mizbeach through Avodah Zarah. But there's a much better reason, and that is you're not allowed to lift iron on the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, the stones that are used, they may use pebbles. They use pebbles to make the Mizbeach. They took little teeny pebbles and they put it into a mold and they poured cement, sid, and they evened it out. They use teeny little pebbles to make the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to use iron to cut the stones of the Mizbeach. The Beis HaMikdash was taken back with a sword. It was conquered with war, with koichi v'oitzem yadi, with barzel, blood, war. This now that we've taken back the Beis HaMikdash, it came through the cheref. It was a perfect fulfillment of charbicha heinafta aleha. We've waved our sword over the Beis HaMikdash to conquer it and to take it back into our hands. The first thing is, that's not what the Beis HaMikdash is about. It's not about victory in battle, victory through the sword. Symbolically, there was a message sent out to Klal Yisrael. The Mikdash, the Mizbeach, was conquered through the sword. Doesn't mean on the Mizbeach, through battle. And now we're going to reinaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. We can't use this Mizbeach. We can't use the Mizbeach that has only been taken under our control through a sword. It's a violation. It's a chilul. We have to build a new Mizbeach from ground up, grassroots. A new Mizbeach that's pure, that has nothing to do with battle. The battle is over, it's done, but we're not going to benefit directly from the success of the Cheref. We're going to demolish it, and we're going to start fresh. And the whole Yom Tov is called Al Shem Zos Chanukas HaMizbeach. The whole festival is called Chanukah. Chanukah means the reinauguration of what? Of what? Of the Mizbeach. Zos Chanukas HaMizbeach. Because it otherwise would have been a violation of Charbecha Heinafta Oleha Vatechal Oleha. Every single table, in dining room table you eat on, has that status. Make sure the table is not a product of blood, product of cherev, of might and power and the sword. That is an incredible sensitivity, an incredible lesson in hashkafa of what a Jewish table is all about. You know, by Hasidim, the last one that I know that was done was the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, when he died, what was his coffin? His desk. His people desk in 770. They would make into a coffin. So they don't do this anymore. But by Lubavitcher Rebbe, when he was Nifter, they took his table, his desk in 770. Could you imagine how many conversations? What that desk is witness to, from the time he became Rebbe, what year did he become Rebbe? 60. 52? 51. 51. And when was he Nifter? 90? 94? When he had a stroke. 2 years, he had a stroke. Can you imagine? Listen, no jokes now. Every time I go there, I have to always ask Mechila. I don't go to the oil. You should all go to the oil. It's a great experience. Really, there's a lot. You really can sense the kedusha there, and you have to always ask Mechila for all the Lubavitcher jokes. But in any event, could you imagine his desk, what it was witness to? Could you imagine what happened in front of that desk? And that desk accompanied him to the next world. That desk was fashioned into his coffin. Okay, and this was commonly done back in the day, before funerals and burials were institutionalized by the government and by different societies and became a big business. your person's dining room table was typically his coffin. That was a given. A person, you get married, you buy a dining room table, the first thing you do when you get married is you buy a coffin. That's really what you're doing. You get married, you buy a dining room table, you're buying your coffin. This table will be my coffin. Scary, that's really what it is.
It's not okay. True. You buy the coffin for your wife.
I think now that we have in Mizbeah, Hashem did give chesed to us to show that this shulchan that you are eating
is the Mizbeah.
Not to forget the Mizbeah.
Not to forget the Mizbeah. Hashem always gave us a reminder, a shulchan, a table is a holy object. It demands respect. You're not allowed to sit on a table, stand on a table. You gotta give the table respect. Okay? A table, it used to be olden days, it was always covered. Not anymore. It used to be covered. You know, look what he writes here. Don't kill a fly. Whoever heard of such a thing? Don't kill a fly on the table. It's not respectful. When you kill a fly on a Sefer Torah? Unheard of. So you don't kill a fly. You don't have a knife. It's not respectful to have a knife on a table because that's a violation of what the table is all about. That's what Chanukah is all about. It's about the table. It's about the dining room table. The also lichtav. Then he writes over here something also very interesting. That's end. Period. He always the Sefer Chassid. He has this knack. I really enjoy it. Is to jump around in extreme things from one to the next. And now he's in the topic of describing giving respect to objects. Right? So we have respect. We learned about you're not allowed to go and you have a sefer. You can't go take a piece of paper and make the margins on top of a sefer. That's not respectful. That's what we learned yesterday. And we learned that you're not allowed to go full tachnun on your svarim. Right? Don't full tachnun. Don't take a catnap on your table. Don't make margins on a piece of paper on your table. And then he talks about it, not only your svarim don't have respect, then he talks about a table have respect. And now he goes back to svarim. And he says, don't, in the front of your sefer, use it as a phone book. The front of your sefer is not meant to be a phone book. It's not meant to be a record keeper, a bookkeeper. A sefer is kodesh. Even though the page, you'll argue what kedusha does the front page have, it's not respectful. The osur, lichtoiv b'sefer, Pliny chayiv li kach v'kach. A sefer is a davar shabbat kedusha. Don't keep records.
Avigdor Miller said, your sefer is not a loose leaf book.
Not a loose leaf.
Don't write records. People, I know there is a minhag. There is a minhag, though. I don't know if it's correct or not correct, but it's definitely common. There are people who take a certain sefer, and in that sefer, in the back of the front on the page, they write down all of the family yard sites. In a machzor or a sefer. I know someone has a Rambam, a very beautiful Rambam. A Rambam from the grandfather. And in the Rambam, all the yard sites of the members of the family, the whole family. Oh, they put that. And actually, our school did this, right? And they actually have a page in the Tanakh.
I think so.
In the full Tanakh. Interesting. They have there the lines to make it easy for you. All the birth dates. Oh. This is the art scroll.
Tanakh.
And it has their what?
It has our family.
That's right.
Okay.
Donate one page for one family outside.
Okay. So the question over here is, now this is not what it says. So don't get me. Obviously, Hanach lahem li Yisrael. In Einam Nevi'im b'nei Nevi'im. If this is what is done, obviously this is correct. But it's interesting, it's very easy to get carried away. Once I'm writing down the yard sites, once you're writing down the birthdays, also write down your bank account. your Swiss bank account numbers for your children and your grandchildren when they go look up the yard sites. Oh, we didn't know we have a secret Swiss bank account. Passwords, exactly. So he says here, I don't know, you have to know where to draw the line. Obviously, it's considered to be acceptable davar shabbat kedusha to write yard sites and even birthdays. Some people they write birthdays of their grandchildren. They write, but the osur lichtoiv b'sefer ploini chayiv li kach v'kach. You're getting a little carried away here by writing your passwords and your bank accounts and all of your chayvos. That is not proper to write in the margin.
Okay, let's go further. Let's run out of time. Usavivav, let's go further. Usavivav nish nis. Okay, is a sin. Nis ara me'od. I usually make that, I always say with a shin, is a sin. Nis ara, it's stormy. Stormy. Those that are near Hashem are Hashem is medactic with the tzaddikim kichut ha-sa'ara. Okay, se'or. The word nis ara is related to the word of se'or. Se'or is a hear. Hashem is medaktek with tzadikim kichut hasara. Mikan shakadosh baruch medaktek with tzadikim afil kichut hasara. Even the smallest little indiscretion. Lefi she kizba. How do we know this? Now he's saying over here a pshat like a drush, like a Friday share. He's saying over here a very fascinating thing. Never heard this before until I saw this here. Why was it hashkacha pratis that Sarah should die by hearing about the Akedah? She heard that Yitzchak was taken to the Akedah. And whatever, whether the Akedah was a success or a failure, that's irrelevant. The point we want to focus on now is her death came about a report that her son Yitzchak was taken to the Akedah. Why that? Why Yitzchak? Why did she have to die through Yitzchak? The answer is because she sinned through Yitzchak. How did she sin through Yitzchak? The only sin recorded in the entire Torah of Sarah Imenu is Vatechache Sarah Lemar. She left. Vatitzchak. What? She said Loitzochakti. Vatitzchak. She left. When the Malach said Shoyv Oshuve Lecha Koeis Chaya, I'm coming back in a year and you're gonna have a baby. I'm gonna have a baby. I'm 89 years old. What are you joking? I'm going to have a baby 89 years old. I'll be 90 and I'll have a baby. She laughed. You're laughing? You're challenging the Malach Elokim? This is not a messenger from 7-Eleven. This is the real deal over here. This is the...
No, but it says that God spoke that it says, Vayom Elok, he says, don't tell me what you weren't laughing. You were laughing.
She was fooling herself. Okay, there's a lot of Torah. We're not going off and out. The point is, she was taken to account why she laughed. The Torah was Megala. We have no clue what this means. Who are we to even fathom what's going on over here? But we have to read the words nevertheless. There was a complaint against her. There was a complaint. There was a complaint that she did something wrong in relation to her belief that she will have a child, Yitzchak. Therefore, Sarah Imenu is subject, if anyone is subject to this principle of Usivivav Nisara Me'oid, that they live in a stormy world, Hashem is Medakt Kechut HaSara, when it comes to Tzadikim, she was held to account, and that is why Mida Keneged Mida, her death came through Yitzchak. Since she sinned through Yitzchak, it had to be that her death came through Yitzchak. Now, I mean, it's not for the faint of heart, for the average person, but obviously there is a lesson to learn from this. Lefich, therefore, bo sibas misas al yidei Yitzchak, kishashama shmuas wakeda, parucharucha umesa al yidei Yitzchak. Okay, they don't teach this to you in Cheder, this pshat. It's a beautiful pshat. It's a very powerful, powerful principle. Le'olam yonus adam minisim kishema ein oisim le'nesim oisim menakin le'im mizchu yosaf. A person should now, this is not very practical, but it's a little practical. And that means, if you want to take this literally, it means don't rely on miracles. Okay, talk about the story, the famous story of Rabba and Reb Zera. They dined one year, the Purim Su'uda kom Rabba shachte l'Reb Zera. They got a little carried away in their sudas Purim. Rabba got up, he took out a knife and demonstrated the laws of Shechita on Rabbi Zera. And Rabbi Zera was gone. He was in the Olam Ha'emes. At least the Pshuta Shel Mikra. I mean, I don't know, you'll tell me all these Perushim, they didn't really die or whatever. But what did he do the next day? Mechaye HaMeisim. He brought him back to life. Okay, the next day he went and he was mispelled, he came back to life. Okay, nice Purim, an experience like none other. an outer world experience, out of life experience. Come back next year, and Rabba says to him, Zenu, come for Purim, I invite you to my Purim Su'uda. What did he say to him? Lav b'chol yoyim. Misrachei Shnisa. Last year we got lucky. We got lucky. You brought me back to life. Who says this year we will be so lucky you'll bring me back to life? That's the lesson. The lesson is don't rely on miracles. And if a miracle does happen, you're in a lot of trouble because you pay dearly. You pay dearly from your savings account of Menachem Mizuchu Yosef. Now, you'll say that today there's no such thing as miracles. You're 100% correct. There's not that I know of, there are open miracles, but there are things that are dangerous. That are dangerous. Okay? They're dangerous, and don't take risks. In our terminology in the 21st century, instead of saying the word miracles, open miracles, it would mean do not take unnecessary risks. Don't smoke. Don't smoke. You want to smoke? What are you smoking for? No, you'll tell me that there are many, many people that water off a duck, nothing ever happened to. Okay, but it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. So you want to say, I have zechuyos, I'm a good man, I give a lot of tzedakah, I do a lot of chesed, I do a lot of good tzachin, I'm going to be semech al hanes. Don't be so sure of yourself that you will be able to outmaneuver the dangers in life. And you know something? If you're successful, you smoke and nothing happens, you know something? Maybe really something should have happened. And Hashem had rachmanis on you. And that rachmanis was menake loy mizchu yosef in the next world. So today you can't say the word nes. No one today is on the madrega where you can just, okay, the Bnei Shalom want miracles, you know, that maybe 800 years ago, holy people can do that, but today obviously we're not talking to an audience that can do, but it has a lot of relevancy when it comes to irresponsible behavior. Dangerous and irresponsible behavior, which people get away with, ma'aseh mechol yom, but what are you looking for trouble? Don't go down that path and rely upon miracles. So next, come down, we're out of time.
A very important point. Rashi says something, the cause of the death of the Sarah Imenu. It was not according to that, saying he was taken for sure. Because he said he didn't accept it.
We're not getting into that. That's a different issue. The Sefer Chasim did not discuss what you're discussing. Did he die? Did he not die? Was she upset that he didn't die? Was she shocked that he almost died? That's a topic that goes on. There's no end to that topic. There's no end to that topic. We're not discussing. We're just discussing it was through a reference to Yitzchak. What exactly was her thinking? What was the thought process? I don't know. That's a different discussion. But the common denominator is it was through Yitzchak that she died. Mida keneged mida. Let's go further. Gadol zuchus yifei Torah. Now, this is a very simple principle. This is a very simple principle. It's not about what you do. It's about the effort. It's about the difficulty of nisayon. I'll glue the story. Let's read very quickly. This is mamish aleph beis. Gadol zuchus yifei Torah hamiskabel yitzra yosef mishen yafe. A person who's Prince Charming and holds himself back from doing an avera with a woman that he should not be with will get infinitely more reward than someone who's ugly as sin. Because the woman is not going to be interested. It's not much of an nisayon. Look in the mirror. Who's going to want you? Who's going to want you? Who do you think you are? You want to do an avera? You need two to tangle. Who's going to want to do an avera with you? Who's going to want you? So it's not much of an isoyin, because anyway, but if you're a Prince Charming, and it's like that, you can go do the avera, so obviously you're going to receive an infinitely more reward. It's the effort, it's the degree of nisoyin which gives you reward. Very quickly, gadol zechus yifei Torah mehamiskabel yitzra yosef mishene yofeh. Much greater is the merit of a person who's beautiful and has the ability to do an avera and he holds back than someone who is not beautiful. L'fi she'einoy mekulul nashim. Okay, the Sefer Chasidim is on the mark. He says it the way it is. He says it the way it is, like a 21st century man. The women, he's not a ladies' man. They don't want him. They don't want him. It's not relevant. It's not. They're not going to anyway be nichshol him. The gadol zechus ani hamachse avedel labama. A poor man finds $1 million and gives back the item. He finds an expensive item and he gives it back. He gets a lot more reward than a rich man finding an item because it's not a nesayin for the rich man. The gadol zechus ani hamachse avedel labalum yosem yashiv v'kasha einish ha'asher sheina machzir yosem yadi. If a rich man does not return, he's going to be punished much more because it's not a nesayin for him. Hakol lufi torech hasachar Dvarm shutim ad ma'oid. It's not what you do, it's the effort, it's the degree of difficulty that goes into the mitzvah. V'al pi ha'machshava ha'tevin, according to your thoughts. Choshav l'zakoy says, sarabim v'lo yochol shen shem loy, ma'al v'kos kilu m'zakoy sam. If you try to give benefit to the tzibur and for whatever reason you're not successful, Hashem gives you reward for your good attempt, your good thoughts. Yirei lukim yetzi es kulam, and a yorei shemayim is yetzei es kulam. What does it have to do with anything over here? Rash on the sukkah beside the perish rotzalayma. What does this last statement mean over here? Mishu yorei lukim yesha machshav etoyva im asiyas amitzvah. He gets both. He has siyata d'shmaya, that his machshava will one day result in action. He says like a bracha. A true Yorei Shemayim, when he wants to do something as a good machshava, the end will be that he will be able to one day succeed and his machshava will come to fruition. You see, many Gedolei Yisrael in the different stories in the past generations, they wanted so much to do things. They were way ahead of their time and it never happened. And years, generations later, it is an incredible success. Look at Rabbi Shol Salanter. Rabbi Shol Salanter desperately wanted to translate Shas. He wanted to be the first art school Shas. He wanted to be the Sensino of the art school Shas. He wanted to hire Talmidei Chacham all over the world to give each one an assignment and to produce an elucidation of the Talmud Bavli, not just for the Jews, for the Goyim. The Goyim should appreciate.
Into which language would he?
Whatever the common language was then, whatever the language was, in German, I guess. In German, he desperately wanted to do this. He set out to do this. He tried to do this. In his day and age, he was not successful. And today, look at this success. Who are we to say? Who knows? And who maybe part of the success of Art Scroll is built. No, he held, didn't apply. He had a whole lomus of why it didn't apply. He held teaching Torah, the prohibition to teach Torah was only under certain circumstances. He felt it would be a very great advantage for Goyim to see the beauty of Torah. They should understand the Daf Gemara. And for the Jews as well. It's a tremendous chiddush. He was very novel. He had things, very strange things. And the Rishol Salanter. Rishol Salanter.
Nobody gives him credit.
No, yeah. So who are we to say today? I don't know. I'm just saying, what I'm saying is nonsense. But you know, Art Scroll and Sensino and Masifta and all those who have done this have had enormous siyata d'shmaya, enormous success that they'll tell you without blinking an eye was l'mala miderech hateva. Where did that success come from? Who are we to say that part of this success did not come from the sincerity of great people in previous generations who wanted to do this? Who saw the need to do this, but at that time was not able to do it, and now the time was ripe, and their merits, their desires, their tefillos played a part in unusual hashgacha pratis and siyata shmaya in these things happening in our generation. Who knows? Who knows? We don't know how things happen. Sefer Chasidim says a yirei Elokim is Yetzei Eskulam. He gets both. Lemaisa. He has a good machshava. You know something, maybe now that machshava is not yet ready. But that machshava is put in storage and the siyata d'shmaya, the effort that he put in this, will one day come to fruition. And you really don't know when you see people that are successful where that success really is derived from. You never know. Okay, I'll tell you a quick story to conclude. This is the first story in the book from Rev Steinman. It's a very famous story. It's the first opening thought in the book, and it's a beautiful story. It fits perfectly into this maisa. There was it's a long story, but to make it very short, it was a person who was not religious, completely irreligious. He came from a family of shomer Torah mitzvahs, and early in his life, he left the fold. He went off the derech. And then one day his father, he came home for Shabbos, whatever, he came to visit. His father said, let's go to Rav Steinman. Let's just go to say good Shabbos. To Rav Steinman, let's go. This guy is the last guy in the world that would want to go to Rav Steinman. It's all right, you know what, I'll go with you. He goes to Rav Steinman, and he said to him, I don't remember, the details, not important, the only certain point, he had a conversation with him. And eventually, was choizeh b'shuva. So later, his father asked him, "When I asked you to go to Rav Shteinman, why do you want to go? I was surprised that you were willing to go, even just to go say good Shabbos." It ended up he had a conversation, and that conversation he planted some seeds in his mind. He said some very inspiring things to him, and neskalgal hadavar over a period of time he was choizeh b'shuva. Father said, "Why did you want to go to Rav Shteinman? Why? He wouldn't go to anyone else." So he said, "I'll tell you why. When I was very little and still religious, we learned in yeshiva. You know, he put me in cheder, and one day the Rebbe took us all to Rav Shteinman for a test. Like they do, they take to the gedolim. He wasn't as well known. It must have been a long. So he went into Rav Shteinman and he asked all the boys questions, and every boy that answered the question right got a candy. He gave him a candy. He asked a question, the boy gave an answer, get a candy. Little children. He asked him a question, and he didn't know the answer. So he didn't get a candy. Rav Shteinman saw he didn't know this, so he asked him an easier question. He didn't know, so he didn't get a candy. He asked him a third question, an easy question, the easiest question possible. And the boy did not know the answer. So Rav Shteinman did not give him the candy. And he asked the other boys questions. Oh, wait, it doesn't tell us all the details. Okay, they all spoke to him, they got the brachas, and they go out, they leave. As they left, Rav Shteinman called the Rebbe and said, "The boy who didn't know the answers, I want to speak to him." He calls them in, and Rav Shteinman opens up his hand and says, gives him three candies. Everyone only got one candy. And Rav Shteinman says, "Why am I giving you three candies? Because in Yados, it's not results that count. It's effort. I asked you three questions. I saw that you were trying to think of the right answer. You were struggling. You were struggling. What's the answer? You struggled. It was the wrong answer, but you struggled. Second time you struggled. The third time you struggled. Everyone else only struggled once. I gave them one candy. You struggled three times. You didn't get the right answer, but you struggled. You deserve three candies. In Yadus, it's the effort that counts, not the results." So this boy said that inspiration remained with him his whole life. And years later, when he was a chiloni, 100%, he came home to visit his father, and his father said, "No, I'm going. Come with me. Let's just say good Shabbos." And he said, "Rav Shteinman, it clicked. I agreed to go with you." And once he went there, he said to him a few things. He said a conversation, whatever the conversation was, v'chulu v'chulu. It's a very, very beautiful story. It's exactly what it says here in the Sefer Chassidim. It's the situation and the effort. The nisoyon, that is where the reward is. It's not the results. It's the effort. And we'll live with that. What?
You're supposed to start. How's it going? It's not what you finish. The starting.
Lo yalech ligmar. Right. You have to do the best that you can do. Okay. We have to also produce. We have to at some point in time produce results also. You still got to produce at some point in time. Okay, we'll take a short break. We're going to start learning some of Yoni Pesach. In Yoni Pesach after the break.